stick to the now. It's time for Cal's Wine Chat. It's 11:15 in the morning. And we'll be talking about oxidation today. The chemical process that occurs when wine encounters air, often referred to as the death of wine, turning a bottle into vinegar in just a few days. But how does something as harmless as oxygen corrupt a wine? And is all oxidation bad? We're joined by Cal to get to the nitty-gritty on this topic. Cal, I knew it. I knew air was bad for everything because everyone who breathes dies. That's what I've been saying.
Well, do you want to know the funny part about that statement?
I'd love to know the funny part.
The reason why everyone who breathes air dies is actually because of oxidation.
Oh my goodness, I knew it.
Yeah, yeah. So air is actually poisonous. It's just killing us over the course of like 100 years.
Ban air, I think.
Yeah, you know, I've been on this platform a long time. thanks for coming to my TED Talk today, everyone.
This is what we're really talking about, folks.
Yeah,
we've thrown wine right out the window. We're talking
about... we're getting to what really matters.
Oh, dear. All right, so what are you talking about when you say oxidation? I'm going to keep saying oxidization because...
That's fine. You can say oxidization. It's not. I'm not going to... Yeah. So in the most simple terms... oxidation is a chemical process whereby in the presence of oxygen, an organic compound transforms what it is. So we see that a lot in wine with like ethanol or alcohol, transforms into acetaldehyde, which sort of, a lot of people would probably recognize the smell of acetaldehyde, even if you haven't sort of don't know what it is directly. And it's sort of it's an aldehydic compound, and it has lots of like industrial uses and stuff like that. Hmm. It's also the chemical that's sort of responsible for hangovers, weirdly enough, because our livers break down the ethanol. It's theorized that's sort of part of the reason why you feel so groggy and lethargic the next day. And then that will further oxidize into acetic acid, which is sort of what the actual acid in vinegar is.
Sure.
So it is that very direct process where it sort of quite literally turns into vinegar.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing to remember is whilst it does, when you sort of talk about it chemically, it does just sound like, it's like, oh, if there's ever any air, this thing will just like naturally like get worse. Mm. Whereas a lot of this is more to do, and I don't want to get too much into like theories of chemistry and stuff like that, but sort of there is a certain entropy to these situations where sort of materials will always try and break down to be in their most simple and stable forms, even if they are something that is quite stable like ethanol, it'll still want to undergo these transformations when it can.
Yeah, sure. That kind of tracks. That kind of makes sense to my physics brain and what I understand about chemical reactions that I did briefly. How does a wine get oxidized?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like if you undo the cap and leave it open, like
that'll do it.
It'll sort of go over time. But there's sort of lots of ways, and there's sort of when we sort of talk about it through the winemaking process, you'll also hear this phrase microox or microoxidation. Thrown around a lot, which is ostensibly sort of the process of, you see it a lot with oak, but other things will do it, where sort of there is just a really small amount of consistent air that gets to interact with the wine. If it's all too much all at once, you like over the course of a couple of days, you get acetic acid forming. But if you have these really gradual processes, you can actually sort of control where you are at in that sort of conversion and sort of what other compounds in the wine get to sort of interact with the oxygen before it's actually latching onto that ethanol there. And that's part of the aging process too, is this microoxidation, which, you know, anything that's under cork, and it's sort of almost imperceptible, but very, very slowly over the course of years and years and years, there's just little bits of oxygen that are slowly seeping into the wine there. And that really is where a lot of these age characteristics actually come from, is that sort of very slow, quite mediated exposure to air, allowing sort of what is originally these really bright, fruity flavors to sort of start to become either more stewed or become a little bit more rich, or sort of move into that sort of earthier, we think of like sort of like leather and tobacco and that kind of stuff there. And that's all just from this sort of like very slow mediated process that happens.
And so, I mean, there's this obviously image of oxidized wine that it's vinegar and it's a bad thing for the wine. But is that always necessarily true? Is oxidation necessarily a bad thing all the time?
No, and I think it's, I mean, you know, like a lot of things in winemaking, if it's done with intent, and there's sort of a knowledge of what your outcome's going to be, it can be a really useful tool. We were talking about fortifiers just the other week, and yes, sort of a lot of stuff with sherry production is about putting wine in these positions where it grows a different kind of yeast that basically forms a film over the top of it that allows this really slow oxidative process to go through. And that specifically is how you get those dry sherry, sort of like that nutty dried apple kind of flavors are all from that process there. I think there's also a lot to be said about how pre-ferment, introducing some oxygen in there can be really, really beneficial, because otherwise you end up in situations where, especially if you're not like inoculating yeast, you're using wild yeast there, they need a little bit of oxygen in their environments to survive, to like maintain their health. And so if you have these things that are like really well sealed and super well controlled, you can end up in situations where the ferment will actually stick because you actually haven't introduced enough oxygen there to create a positive microbial environment. But like with all things, it is about, you know, moderation, right? Because to be fair, making vinegar isn't a bad thing. Like, no. As long as you're trying to make vinegar.
There's some very expensive vinegars out there.
Yeah, there are, you know. There's some really fancy vinegars, which you can get from, like, basically turning really good wine into really good vinegar. Mm. And a lot of that is about knowing exactly how that process is going to go and targeting sort of where that oxidation is going to take place so that you sort of have a bit more control over the outcomes. The point where it really becomes an issue in the winemaking sense is sort of when stuff's not being sealed properly, because that's when you can sort of get a lot of funky stuff going on. And then there's also certain kinds of bacteria that will specifically speed up that oxidation process in certain capacities in ways that can be pretty unfavorable. I think the issue we see more with oxidation, I think, is much more on the consumer end, with sort of stuff that was either packaged faultily or stuff that was maybe served and it's been a little long in the tooth kind of thing.
Sure. I guess my last question for you before we give your talk about what you've been drinking is, if I buy a wine that's been oxidized, what can I do about that?
Yeah. And I think...
Aside from return it to the goddamn winemaker.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And I think context is important here. You know, like, I have lost track of the amount of times where I've like gone to the pub and ordered a glass of wine and you get it and you're like, this is clearly oxidized. Like this is, you know, this has gone through it a little bit. It's looking pretty ragged, you know. At those first stages, you know, I think a lot about it, how like, you know, like the bruising of an apple is the same process. Sure. There. And in the same way in which when you eat a bruised apple, it sort of has that, it doesn't have the same zing or freshness to it. You get the same thing with a wine, especially once it's been open for a couple of days there. And, you know, I've encountered many, many, many times where I've ordered a glass of wine and I've gotten it and it's been oxidized. But also the person serving me is 19 and probably doesn't know what that word means. And it's like, you know, like you got to pick your battles here.
Right? Yes. Okay, sure.
Yeah, but if you're at a proper wine bar, you know, or a place that is, you know, has a serious wine program and they're serving you stuff that you deem, to be incorrect, I think you're well within your rights just to be like, hey, I just want to check. This wasn't tasting how I expected it to. Like, how long has this been open? This is tasting pretty oxidized to me. And, like, most places worth their salt will actually be pretty receptive to that kind of comment because and, you know, this varies by the person running the program and case-by-case stuff. But, like, You tend to not want customers to get things that they don't enjoy. That sort of goes against the whole point of, you know, doing this work. And,
oh, for
you know,
sure, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think just, and it's like, don't be confrontational. Don't be like, hey, you served me a faulty wine. It's way more like, hey, this isn't what I thought it was. I think there might be something wrong with this. Like, can you check it? Can I get a glass from a fresh bottle? Can I try something else? And most people are usually pretty receptive to that kind of thing. In retail, it can be a little bit harder. I've never tried to do this with like a big like a drinks chain, like a BWS or anything, with getting faulty bottles. The most important thing to me is making sure that you get photos or some sort of evidence of like the closure being either tampered or faulty or whatever's going on there. And you see this with screw tops a lot, where you'll do the thing where you'll go to crack it and it won't crack and it'll just sort of spin. And there's definitely a few times I've had that where you're like, oh, this is obviously not being sealed properly, so the wine inside is going to be compromised, that kind of thing. If the seal was actually broken before you encountered it, obviously, like with all sealed products, if the seal has been tampered with before you've accessed it, you should return that and get a refund or get an exchange on that. And you know, once again, like, I think it is a little bit pick your battles. I think most independent liquor retailers will be pretty receptive to that stuff. And I imagine a lot of the larger chains probably will be, as long as you have the evidence to back up what you're asking for.
Sure, sure. And just give us a quick little look into what you're drinking this week before we...
Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of WA kit, and I just want to shout out, speaking of wines that have been slightly oxidized, the Alta Veg by Franklin Estate. This is a Riesling that is made in sort of a much more traditional Central European style, so sees smoke, sees a little bit of lee stirring, is a little bit further along in that oxidative pathway. And I think it's really rewarding as something that is still quite bright and fresh and aromatic, but has the structure to hold up in these sort of colder weeks that we're going through in winter here.
Cool. It's a good rec. Thank you very much, Cal.
No worries. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Any idea what we might be talking about next week? Or
I want to talk about something from WA. I'm not sure what region yet, but we're gonna be looking at... I think we're going to pick out a few of the regions of Great Southern to have a chat about. And sort of have a look at what they're doing over there, because there's some killer wine coming out of WA at the moment.
Fantastic.
And I want to celebrate that.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. All right, Cal, hope you're feeling better next week. Hope to see you in the studio.
Yeah, appreciate it. Give my love to everyone there, and I'll see you next week.
See you next week. That was Cal Lee for Cal's Wine Chat. If you want to listen back to all of our other chats, all you need to do is search up Cal on the 2SEO website or Cal's Wine Chat on the 2SEO website, and the whole backstory of Cal's Wine Chat will be there for your enjoyment. to